May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Redeemer. Amen. The day had started just like any other. Ned was led out of his stable and was tied up outside his owner's house. Ned was happy to serve his people and was used to being borrowed by villagers who needed to transport goods from one place to another. So there was nothing remarkable about that visit of those two men. Sure, Ned had never seen them before, but he was confident that they had his owner's permission, and his owner was a good man who'd never let Ned be harmed. But what happened next was unusual. The two men led him to a house around the corner where they placed cloaks on his back. And then, the strangest feeling, a man climbed onto Ned's back. And no one had ever sat on Ned before, and Ned didn't know how to react. He was scared. He didn't like this extra weight, and he was anxious that his legs might give way. But there was something about this man that Ned found reassuring. There was a gentleness to this rider, not like the impatient people who had ridden members of Ned's family. This man, now sitting on Ned's back, was different. He seemed to understand Ned, almost as if he had, in some way Ned could not understand, been part of creating Ned. He seemed to know how to handle him. He even made him feel special. But that was just the beginning of Ned's big day out. He didn't know where he was going or who this man was on his back, but Ned couldn't help notice a crowd gathering. There were the man's friends, but now, as they made their way to the city, other people stopped what they were doing and looked up. Some joined in this happy band of pilgrims until it became a procession with Ned's rider at the center of it. The sight of these friends laughing and singing as they walked along the road beckoned more passers-by to join the parade. But maybe something deeper was going on, something that Ned's donkey brain could not grasp, indeed something that the human minds joining that procession could not comprehend either. For here was a victory parade, a coronation, and a funeral cortege all rolled into one. All Ned knew was that his rider was special, and that made him special too. He had been chosen, and his kind would be forever honored because of the rider on his back. The next day, Palm Monday, Ned woke up, adrenaline already coursing through his body. He had hardly slept, so excited was he by the memories of yesterday's glorious walk into Jerusalem. Never before had he felt such a rush of joy and pride. So, basking in that glow, he strutted into town. He saw a group of people by the well. "I'll show myself to them," he thought. "They'll recognize me from yesterday, and they all pet me and adore me." But they didn't notice him. They went on drawing their water and paid him no mind. Ned felt disrespected. "Throw your coats down," he demanded. "Don't you know who I am?" But the villagers just looked at him, puzzled. Someone slapped him across the rump and ordered him to move. "Miserable heathens," he muttered to himself. "I'll just go to the market where the good people are. They will remember me." But the same thing happened. No one paid any attention to the donkey as he swaggered down Main Street. "The palm branches! Where are the palm branches?" he shouted. "Yesterday you threw palm branches." Hurt and confused, Ned returned home to his mother. "I love you, Ned," she said gently, "but you need to learn that yesterday was not about you, but him, the man on your back. Without him, you're just a donkey." The archaeologist Fiona Marshall says that donkeys are actually extremely intelligent. Whole trade routes were built on donkeys, and the wealth of ancient Egypt depended on them. When it comes to steadiness, stamina, and heroic resistance to heat, cold, and thirst, donkeys win the gold medal at the Animal Olympics. They're intelligent, humble, and noble. At least Ned was humble until the next day. Today we honor the ministry of Ned. It's the feast of Saint Ned. Saint Ned the Christ Bearer. How's that for a noble name? But I want to blow this day wide open. Let's make it the day for all Christ bearers. And yes, I'm looking at you. You and I are bearers of Jesus. We take him with us wherever we go. And just like Ned, we carry him with intelligence, with humility, and with nobility. A 19th century missionary named Andrew Murray wrote, "The humble person feels no jealousy or envy. They can praise God when others are preferred before them. They can bear to hear others praised while they are forgotten, because they have received the Spirit of Jesus, who pleased not himself and who sought not his own honor. Humility is perfect quietness of heart. It is for me to have no trouble, never to be fretted or vexed or irritated or sore or disappointed. It is to expect nothing, to wonder at nothing that is done to me, to feel nothing done against me. It is to be at rest when nobody praises me and when I am blamed or despised. It is to have a blessed home in the Lord where I can go in and shut the door and kneel to my Father in secret and be at peace as in a deep sea of calmness when all around is in trouble." Ned's humble plod to Jerusalem was not the only procession that day. There was another parade on another side of the city and another gate, and it couldn't have been more different from the one made by Ned and Jesus. It happened every Passover. The Roman governor of Judea, Pontius Pilate, rode from his home in Caesarea to Jerusalem to remind people who was in charge. Pilate's parade was a sick show of power, an arrogant demonstration of Rome's superiority and Jerusalem's humiliation. Just in case the locals became restless and let their resentment of Rome bubble up in naive thoughts of overthrowing the regime, Pilate's parade burst that bubble. Passover, you see, was the most volatile time of the year, and rather like lining the streets with riot police, Pilate rode into town on an impressive-looking horse to instill fear in people. He came in power and pride to intimidate and threaten. Jesus' procession on board Ned proclaimed a different power and a different kingdom. Justice, peace, an end to exploitation and domination. The Christ bearer is intelligent, humble, and noble. And it is our humility that gives birth to our nobility. On this Palm Sunday, we always read that passage from Philippians that demands that we study the humility of Christ and copy it. Though he was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The feast of Saint Ned is a day rich in irony and pregnant with purpose. For us, the irony is obvious. The crowd calls Jesus the Lord and the King, and so they should, because that is what he is. And yet, they don't really know what they're talking about. They call Jesus Lord because they think he's going to do a Pilate, lead a military conquest of Jerusalem and rid it of Roman control. Names have power. What we call someone shapes their future, even in a small way. The name Jorge Bergoglio doesn't tell us much about the owner of that name, but the title Pope Francis tells us all we need to know about what that man's vision and character were. If you ever saw Edison Arantes do Nascimento play soccer, you'll understand why, as a kid, he was nicknamed Miracle, which in Hebrew is Pele. The Palm Sunday crowds were right to call Jesus King and Lord, but he is other things too. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, the suffering servant, the Passover sacrifice, reconciling the world to God by giving himself. By the end of that week, after Jesus had thrown the furniture in the temple, had talked about destroying the temple and rebuilding it in 3 days, had crossed verbal swords with the religious leaders, had told people to pay their taxes to the Romans, and had made it abundantly clear that his kingdom was not of this world, many of those Sunday revelers lost faith in him. Most washed their hands of his mission. They wanted Jesus to fit their theology. They expected God to want the things they wanted. They demanded that Christ champion their causes. Men and women do the same thing today. I think I know what is right and wrong, and I expect God to back me up. God is on my side and will make sure I win the argument, that I have the last word, that my puny understanding of how the world should be matches God's vision, that what I think should happen is part of God's perfect plan. But we can't expect the Christ of Palm Sunday, the King who rides a donkey, to make sure that we get our own way. The Jesus of Holy Week did have an agenda, but it was not power and self-promotion. Ned is the perfect mode of transport for Jesus' entry into God's earthly city. In the same way, wherever you go this Holy Week, may you be aware that you carry Christ. You take him to the market, to the office, to the park. You take him online to your social media page. You take him on your phone when you talk to friends or family or business partners. So may we bear Christ in the same way as Ned. That's Sunday's version of Ned, not Monday's. With thoughtfulness, with humility, and with the nobility that grows from it. Amen. And so we move right now into the prayers. So please sit or kneel. And Tracy's going to come and lead us.
Let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory to the in the world. Lord, in your mercy, guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy, give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy, bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, especially Laura Brendel, Rick Durden, Marla Foster, Carolyn Fillmore, Ann Hill, Emily Crump Johannes, Valinda Johnson, Karma Marks, Richard McCrory, Pat McDonald, Eddie McDowell, Martha Collier Mosley, Cameron Napier, Bud Nason, Elizabeth Potter, Shirley Price, Constance Rogers, Sarah Spratling, Debbie Steindorf, and Barbara Wallace. Give them hope and courage in their troubles and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, we commend to your mercy all who have died, especially Molly Ledyard McGough, Joseph Matthew McGough Sr., Joseph Matthew McGough Jr., Ethel A. Mahan, Oscar C. Mahan, Danella Kidney Ledyard, and William Morgan Ledyard, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Peace be with you. Well done. You're doing really well. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, Kelly. Peace be with you, McKinney. Well done. You're all doing really well. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
Good morning. Would you please be seated? It's really good to see you all today. If you are our guest, I really hope you're enjoying this act of worship. And if you would like to stay in touch with St. John's, a way you can do that is by filling in one of the cards in front of you and placing that in the offering when it comes round in a few moments. And if you do that, I will be in touch with you tomorrow. Well, it is a Holy Week, and there is an opportunity every day this week, apart from Saturday, for worship. From Monday through to Wednesday, we have a midday service, a Eucharist that will be in the chapel, a short service, but with a sermon and some excellent liturgy. There will not be the early service on Tuesday, and there won't be the healing service on Thursday either. Instead, on Thursday evening, Maundy Thursday, we will have a communion service at 6 o'clock. This is a somber and very deep and meaningful service with hymns, music, a sermon, and we will strip the altar and prepare our hearts for the solemn weekend that we are entering. Then on Good Friday, we will have a service at 12:05, which will not be a Eucharist. It will be a simple service of prayer with a significant sermon. We don't have anything on Saturday, except so you can pray on your own. And then Sunday, oh wait, morning kids, welcome. Please come in. This is your place. Come and feel at home. Sunday, 7 a.m., 9 a.m., and 11 a.m. I'm sorry about the 7 a.m. I didn't start that tradition, but I'm very happy to continue it. So at 9 o'clock, we will have a children's Easter egg hunt immediately after the service. All three of those services will have hymns and music. All three will have actually the same sermon, and I'm looking forward to welcoming each of you at whatever service is right for you and your family. So please do use next weekend as a great, wonderful opportunity to introduce friends who have never been to St. John's about some of our riches, bring them along, and let's do evangelism in the name of Christ and for the growth of our parish. And so we come to the Lord's table, and as we do so, we bring to him symbols of our lives and labours. Oh, sorry, by the way, if you're on the vestry, please do stay behind. I promise you the shortest ever vestry meeting. I'm going for 60 seconds. That's my goal, so please stay behind. Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For our sins he was lifted high upon the cross, that he might draw the whole world to himself, and by his suffering and death he became the source of eternal salvation for all who put their trust in him. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself, and when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Saviour Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us eat in peace.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Lamb of God.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Go now and have the same mind as was in Christ Jesus. Be humble, even in the face of hostility, and do not turn back. And may God help you and keep you from disgrace. May Christ Jesus lead you through the gates of justice, and may the Holy Spirit keep you in God's steadfast love and fill your mouths with praise to the glory of God. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God.